Tens of thousands of wholesale buyers out there use 750 to search for products and find new discoveries. Recently, the 750 team added a great new feature, the samples feature, to make it a lot easier to track your tasting history. Distributor reps can share information about the products they plan to bring you, and you can have a running history of everything you've tasted with them. You can leave private notes about your tasting, and you can add products that you've liked directly to a sales order. The samples feature is a great way to stay organized without random pieces of paper, and another way that the 750 team makes life easier for buyers each and every day. Go to the samples tab on your 750 home screen to see your sample history and to find out more. Do you have a serious interest in Italian wine? Ian D'Agata, author of the book Native Wine Grapes of Italy and also a previous interview on this show, will be leading a Vinitaly International Academy certification course in San Francisco this year. That's going to start on October 16th and go through October 20th. Certification as an ambassador of Italian wine is open to candidates from around the world. And if you'd like to attend the course in San Francisco, reach out to Via at vinitalytour.com. That's V-I-A. At vinitalytour.com. Go ahead and send them your contact information, and they'll respond to you with what you need to do. If Italian wine is something you love, this is a great opportunity to study the subject in depth with an amazing teacher. I'll drink to that, where we get behind the scenes of the beverage business. I'm Levy Dalton.
I'm Erin Scala.
And here's our show today. Marchese Umberto Fracassi Ratti Manton on the show today. Hello, sir. How are you?
Pleased to see you.
So you're based in Carrasco in the Piemonte.
Yes. It's a town just on the hills of La Morra and between the two rivers, Tanaro and Stura.
And how long has your family lived in Carrasco?
Since the foundation of the city, 13th century.
And in that time, there have been vineyards in the zone?
Yes, I believe so, because Roman grow vineyards because it was a way to keep the people on the territory. So they have to look after the vineyards, so they could not leave it. It was founded on Roman ruins. It was a fortress. The good thing of this place, that was a lot of water, and there was a very good system of cleaning the roads and the streets. And it's a matter of fact that the pest was not in Carrasco, because I believe it was a sort of hygienic cleanness. In those days, they used to put everything on the roads.
So there was no plague here?
No plague, no. And then there was Carrasco was sometimes in with the Savoia family, and most of the time was with Mantova. So they had less taxes. So I believe many people used to stay here because it was more not so expensive. And so we have important families used to build their house in here because it was a fortress. And also we have a synagogue still now, and was very important, yes. And as a matter of fact, the famous sausages of Bra was made in Carrasco with only veal meat. It was a city that had a big past but no future, unfortunately. But the climate is okay, and it's an agriculture town. It's a pleasant to live.
And you grew up here?
Yes, when I was a child, yes. And during the war.
And your father died in 1985?
Yes. I split the land with my brother, yes, and they had the vineyards. He was very happy not to have this problem, but I was happy because I like make wine, I like drink it, but unfortunately I cannot drink it all myself, so I have to sell it also.
The family had been making wine like Barolo for its own cellar.
Oh, yes, yes, since ever. We found the labels from latest 1800, and some price list of early 1992-1994. And I believe the label was made for the exposition in Turin in 1911. And since we didn't change it, because it's cheap, only two colors, white and black.
Today, you're the only producer of a Barolo from Carrasco.
From Carrasco, yes. But usually it was not known as Barolo, it was just a wine. But see, only because when they enlarged the area of Barolo in 1962, they put us in. Because before Carrasco was not in, but then they put us in because it was an historical vineyard. It was always there. We used to make Mantoetto, but they didn't know that was Barolo, it was just Nebbiolo.
That vineyard is towards the direction of La Mora in Carrasco, right?
Yes, looking south. This place I have only Barolo, because I'm on the limit of the area of the Barolo Empire. I'm just on the border. But just for a few meters, I am in. I am lucky we have no chalk, because in this area there is a problem, there is some chalks. But luckily my piece of land, very small, only 2 hectares, they have no chalk. In 86, we had hail.
A lot of hail.
Yes, and we decided to enlarge the area. Part of the parcel was Barbera. It was a very nice Barbera. It was perhaps a pity to take away this Barbera. But I like personally Barolo. I like personally Nebbiolo. And in my opinion, this soil is suitable for a Nebbiolo to make a Barolo. See, it's an easy drink of Barolo. In this area, like in La Mora, it's impossible to have a Barolo very strong with a lot of tannins, like Monforte and Serra Lunga. So I thought that it was better to choose the way to try to have a flavor and perfume and easy drink wine. And I leave the fermentation for only 1 week or a little bit more, and then I take it immediately away and I keep it boiling in steel for 1 month. Try to make it light. I like it like that, but this is a question of taste.
But at the same time, it seems that the Barolo you make is ageable as well.
I remember during the war, there was a lack of bottles. It was impossible to get bottles. And in those days, we used to give to the people that work in the country some wine, like a salary. And the man who was looking after the property in those days, because my father was in Russia, he was during the war. And so he was used to take away the old Barolo wine to make the bottles to give to the people that work in the country for the new wine. So I used to taste this wine. I said, "But it's a pity. This is nice thing." But what they are taking away. My mother used to say, "Our wine is not so bad." And my father was making jokes sometimes, putting our wine in bottles of Romane Conti and and make a drink to some people. They said, "Ah, yes, but this is Romane Conti. It was our wine. It's better, but you know."
And what were you doing before 1985? Were you in other parts of the world, or?
I was combing wool. I was scouring, carding, and combing wool on commission, yes, in Biella. But now textile is finished.
So when the textile market was really strong here in Italy, you were working in that market, sourcing wool.
Yes.
What was that business like for you?
Oh, I like it very much. It was fascinating because you have all the breeding of the sheep, all the quality of the wool. Now with synthetics, it's all finished, but in the past, it was very important. If you like to do something, if you do it with enthusiasm, all the jobs are nice.
But what is it that you think has drawn you to do vine work in an area where you're the only one who's done it for so long? Is it just family tradition, or is there something that speaks to you personally?
I like personally to do it. If I had not the chance to have the vineyards, I was looking for buying something in this area to make wine for my pension, for my retirement.
And what do you think you like most about it?
about making wine? What is it that appeals most to you?
Especially like to drink it. I try to make it nice to drink it, to have a good glass of wine on my table every day.
Had you been making wine before?
No, never. I used to drink it.
Well, that's the best way to be an expert.
But when by chance I had the vineyards, I had to look after how to do it. But in the family, we have always made wine, and we have always speak about wine, my father and my mother. And when I came here, my mother say, we have to stop to make wine. Because it's a silly thing, stupid, it's only small production. I will take you to somebody who knows everything about wine. He will explain you that better you don't make the wine. So we went to see Gigi Rosso. Gigi Rosso showed me all the winery, and then we went to a reception room, and we sit down in very nice chairs, and Gigi Rosso said, well, I knew that you like to keep on going and making wine, and I am very pleased. You know, it's a business that you don't earn money, but you can live on it. My mother, she was furious. She said, "We are not. We reach an agreement that you were telling to my son not to make wine, and then you are saying to him to make the wine." And this is a story that Gigi Rosso is telling to everybody that my mother was saying to him. But in a certain way, she was right. Much better to produce nuts than making wine. You know, wine is complicated, especially if you have a small... I have a stupid size because it's a little bit too big to be a hobby and too small to be something serious. You know, I am old. I'm 80 years old, so I am in pension, so...
And you had a historical cellar on the property.
Yes, yes. We moved. We had another one before, but then this building has been sold, and so I have the cellar just behind. We say home and job all together. It's not so easy to work inside because it's on two levels, so we have to go up and down. I'm getting old, so sometimes I would like to have a nice winery all at the same level. But no, I prefer to have it in my place when I sleep. Because in night time, when the wine is boiling, perhaps he knows that we have to go and see what happened, you know, because we have to control what happened.
Today, the Montanetto vineyard is planted to Lampia, Miquette, and Rosé clone.
Mostly Lampia. The percentage is a little bit... More than 50% is Lampia, the rest is Miquette and Rosé, yes.
And you added the Rosé clone.
Yes, because I like the Rosé.
Yeah. Well, I could see why, especially with the kind of wine you're going for, the style.
Yes, yes, because I was looking to have a good flavor, not so much tannin. And the Rosé is, the problem is that the color is not so brilliant. So to have a decent color with some Rosé is more difficult. So when I put down the Rosé, they tell me, then you will never reach the color that you like. You like, but they say, oh, my patience.
And the alcohol is probably a little bit lower too.
Yes.
With the Rosé.
Yes.
Do you ferment them all together?
Yes, yes. I have not a sufficient quantity to make different parts. Sometimes I ferment in different times what we harvest before, and then after a week, the other one. Because the exposition is... Southwest, and sometimes part of this you get ready before, so we have to harvest and press it before. Yes.
So in terms of exposition, it undulates some, and it has different facings, and so it doesn't ripen evenly. Some parts of it ripen before other parts, and as a result, the harvest takes a while. The whole harvest.
Yeah, yeah. To complicate my life, on 7 hectares, I make 4 quality of wine. So I start in September. End August, September, I finish for Christmas Eve.
It's a pretty long harvest period for seven hectares. Yes. You also make other grape varieties, and you have a Dolcetto and two different bottlings, and a Barbera and a Favorita.
Oh, yes, I make Favorita. It's a white wine. It's like Vermentino, you know. Apparently came from the Liguria, came up with the people that are selling anchois. But here it takes another flavor. You have the favorita from the Roero area, the favorita from this area, they say right side of the Tanaro River. And then the Dolcetto, of course, because it's our special wine, the wine that we like to have every day with our spaghetti or tagliatelle. And then Barbera, which is an easy, a very easy wine to produce. Barbera never give you a problem. You can always make some wine with Barbera. The reason was so popular with some Barrique, because people like some Barrique with Barbera. And then finally, Barolo, yes.
Why did you decide to make a Favorita?
Because it's a typical wine of this area. And in my opinion, grows better than Arnaiz. But Arnaiz is, I believe, is more successful in the Roero area. In our area here, I believe Favorita we get getting better results. I like Dolcetto very much. I will try.
You're going to plant some.
Yes.
And how does that differ than Favorita?
It's more strong. They have more body, more structure. And I don't know if they can make so nice Dolcetto like they make in Novello, but I will try. I can tell you in 4 or 5 years what happened, because we never had Dolcetto at home, so I will try.
Do you think you'll blend those two white grape varieties or keep them separate?
Yes, I believe I could blend with other wines, yes, or with Arnaiz or with Favorita, yes.
Sort of get the freshness of one grape
variety.
Yes,
I don't know how we can make, because we have a lot of rules for how we can make the label, how about we have to put in the label, all these stories that we have.
There must have been a lot of that for you. I mean, you're sort of pioneering a whole subzone, and you're the only producer, and there must have been a lot of learning moments where you sort of had to figure out what to do.
But I like to do it.
Yeah.
When you do something that you like, it's easy, but it's not so difficult to make wine. It's more difficult to sell it.
It's probably an unusual zone for people to get used to if they've never heard about it before. You probably have to explain a lot. What do people tell you when they try your wines? I mean, how do they respond to the wines that you make?
Somebody say, well, this is nice wine, it's good. Somebody say, I don't like it. Somebody say, I drink Coca-Cola. So it depends. You know, in the past, the wine was part of the food, because people used to eat very fat food, or they need to digest something. But now it's not anymore. It's just a question of talking about fashion, or perhaps they like it. Personally, I like it.
And you make two different Dolcettos, actually.
Yes, I make one Dolcetto only on steel, and one Dolcetto which is went through some wood. In some barrique sometimes, just a few days, say, just to give some tannin, and with some grapes of Nebbiolo. We used to make it in the past, we call it Dolcetto Nebbiolato.
Which is actually kind of a traditional style in the region. Mm-hmm. You don't see that often.
No, because the problem is that you lose part of the production of the Nebbiolo, because you need to put this Dolcetto on the grapes of the Barolo and tart boiling. It's a hell of a job. But I have time to do it.
The two Dolcetto seem quite different as a result. The one,
yes, they are. If the people, they don't know that it's the Dolcetto, they don't realize the Dolcetto. I remember once a young lady come to see me, ring the bell, they say, I had a very nice wine of your production in a place of a friend of yours, Chabot Brusa, but I have no more, it's finished. But I say, I have the usual Dolcetto. Then, no, I don't like Dolcetto. But you know that Chabot Brusa is a Dolcetto? No, it's not possible. Yes, it's a Dolcetto. She couldn't believe it was a Dolcetto.
Do your relatives try your wines? So do they ever comment to you?
Oh, yes. They are very severe. No,
they give you a hard time, do they?
Oh, yes, yes. Especially my brother. Oh, finally, you have improved, he said. not to be nice, but he has a very good, very good palate, yes. I ask him all the time, what do you prefer? So sometimes when he's coming here for lunch, I put all different bottles in front. I have to taste all this quality of wine. Yes, please, do it. Yes. He usually don't drink wine. But people who don't drink wine have a very good judge because they have not ideas of the wine in the head. And they are more positive, especially if the people they don't drink wine, they are a good judge, in my opinion. Because the main thing that if you like some wine, if you like it, you have a glass of wine and you feel that you like to have another glass, that means it's good.
Do you enjoy Barolos from other parts of the Barolo zone?
Oh, yes, I love. You know, in the past, they used to blend the Barolos. They don't make... Veronelli start talking about the crew. It's okay for me because I have only one crew. But if I had two or three crew. My father was saying that the good Barolo is made with one-third of La Morra, one-third of Serra Lunga, one-third of Castiglione Falletto. In the past, they used to blend the Barolo to have the color, the acidity, the tannins, or try to blend the old qualities. In the past, they used to blend it to different area.
What's kind of distinct about your own is that it's always been from one area.
Yes, but I have no chance because I would like to have some other piece of land in the Barolo area, but I only have this piece.
But I mean, in the history of your family, it's always been one.
Yes, no, we only had this piece, yes.
It's an interesting perspective that when so many other people in the area were blending across zones.
Well, but because, you know, my father was looking, he was a milk producer. And so he was thinking that wine was good for himself, just to have his own wine. My mother was more keen on having the wine. But my father say, wine, enough what I drink. But he didn't want to have too much vineyards. We used to, in the past with the family, we had a lot of land, but we never had many vineyards.
How have you seen the greater region change since you were a boy?
You know, the world has changed, and especially in this area. Being in the property so split, so people were trying to make a lot of different type of production to survive. And so they were not special. You know, this increase of production of the wine in this area is only from the last 20 years. Because I remember when I was a child, from La Morra you were looking down. It was like a forest. We had some small piece of vineyard somewhere. But now it's all vineyards because wine was discovered and Barolo was in fashion. When I came here, the production of Barolo was 6 million bottles. Now it's nearly close to 13 million bottles, doubled. I hope the quality will not decrease because they, in my opinion, they have put some vineyards in the place they were better not to put. And Piemonte was also in difficulties for the export because Genova was not working, Savona not. And in Tuscany, they had Livorno. It was very, very easy to reach. And in the past, the big market was UK because they had difficult weather. So wine keeps people happy. And so they had the more possibility to send the wine over. And from Piemonte, they try, but they never succeed. But you know, also people of Piemonte, they're a bit special.
Have you seen the weather in this area change over the time you've lived here? Has it gotten warmer or?
It's more warm, definitely. We used to have a very wet September and in October. Now we have been lucky in September is with no rain, which is very important for the vineyards. Yes, for the vineyards it's okay, for the grapes okay. Unfortunately, we have no cold winter. This area used to have a lot of snow, and so for the soil is good because frost during the day it melts little by little and it goes into the soil. That is very good. And like last year, we had not enough snow. But I remember in the years 1946, 47, we had 1 meter or 2 meters of snow. Unbelievable. Usually, we had snow in November, December, which was good for the vineyards.
Looking back over the time that you've been making wine, what do you think you're most happy about?
You know, put myself this question, I keep on going.
What are you most unhappy about?
Oh, my age. Yeah. But anyhow, I have enough wine to drink every day for me, and then for the rest, no importa.
Marchese Umberto Fracassi Ratti Montan was told to stop making wine, and he refused to do so. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you to you.
Marchese Umberto Fracassi Ratti Montan in Carrasco in the Piemonte.
This episode could not have happened without the great assistance of the Vara family, and particularly Giuseppe Vara. Thank you. This episode was also made possible by Colazioni, the wonderful fair of music, literature, and wine held each year in Barolo, Italy. Colazioni assembles some of the best expressions of human culture and presents them all within a historically resonant area. And it's also a lot of fun.
We have over 400 episodes of the All Drink to That podcast, but iTunes will only show you the latest 300 episodes unless you hit the subscribe button. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. It's free, and you'll be able to see all our episodes, and you'll get our newest episodes even faster.